May 14th, 2024. Welcome to the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by George Hermosa. Here to talk about NXT. Oh, we have some action. We have some movement going on in that tournament for the Women's North American title. We have a new Heritage Cup champion. And who walks around with 20 G's plus in an envelope at all times? The family. That's who. Good to see you, George.
It's been a while.
Been a minute. I know I had some traveling. I had some stuff going on. But now I'm back. I'm here. Life returns to its mundane routine. And it's good. It's exciting to be back.
I'm happy to see you. I feel like, I think it's been like 3 weeks or so. I wasn't here last week. And then Jack was filling in 2 weeks ago. So it's been like around 3 weeks.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's been a minute. So before we dive into everything, what's going on? What's happening? What's up in the world of wrestling?
So, but apparently, were you at that Sami Zayn and Friends comedy event this past weekend?
I was indeed. I went to Los Angeles for that specifically.
Oh, wow. If I'd have known, I mean, I still wouldn't have gone because I had things to do. Well, I mean, yeah, I really wanted to.
Do on a Saturday evening.
Yeah.
You were that busy.
I forgot what it was. I think it was just, watching Collision, but
that's the saddest excuse.
Yeah, it was a doubleheader, Collision and then Rampage. No, that's like
there was a repeat of A&E WWE Treasures on and followed by Rivals.
If I would have known, I contemplated going because I know I saw Kayla Braxton was going to be on some other Netflix show or some other Netflix is a joke event. I know it's like a big long thing.
Oh, was she?
It was something I saw something she made a big deal about going from wherever they just were. Did she go to France? I think she went to France, right? I don't know where they are. But she, and then having to fly all the way back and then doing that show, the day of or whatever, the day after. But yeah, then I saw Sami Zayn was going to be there and I was like, oh, it's right in my backyard of Los Angeles. And I really wanted to go. To be honest with you, I really have no excuse to not go, especially when I'm trying to, network my way in through certain areas. But I saw that Becky Lynch was there. I saw that Kathy Kelly was there. So what was your experience like over at the Sami Zayn and Friends? Were you one of the friends?
No. And let me tell you, I know you're trying to make your way in this world of pro wrestling and network. And maybe one day you too can have Leo Rush DM you and ask if you'll retweet him promoting his new single. Maybe you can reach such heights as I have in my 8 years of doing the Wrestling Inc. podcast.
I got a couple people in my Rolodex, I guess you can say. Even like yesterday, I texted somebody that was on Raw yesterday for the first time in a long time, just kind of saying, hey, it was awesome seeing you on TV. So I got some connects, but maybe not enough for at least not yet.
Yes, I mean, Leo Rush followed me, DM'd me and asked me to do that, and then unfollowed me like 3 days later.
Oh, so, my God.
I don't want to brag or anything, but I feel like there's the apex of wrestling journalism.
Was this when he was with Bobby Lashley?
No, it was a couple of years ago. I don't know. I was just always think it was funny because I work with a lot of people. The confidential will be like, oh, yeah, I got this. I get scoops about this or I got a heads up about this. And I'm like, yeah, I get Leo Rush asking me to retweet him. Good times. But no, I think I went to the event. Interesting note and tidbit. As Sammy told us at the beginning, this was the fastest sellout in the entire NXT as a joke festival. And by the way, that's like 500 shows over 12 days.
Yeah.
So, but here's the fortunate wrinkle to that. Probably 15% of the tickets were bought by scalpers who these would have been bought by fans otherwise. But because of this, there were some seats going for absurdly low prices on StubHub. People assumed it was sold out, didn't make travel plans ahead of time, decided to go to one of the dozen other shows happening at the same time. So it was full, but it wasn't as packed. Now, because the seats that were kind of uncomfortable, when I was looking at StubHub and I was seeing like, oh, these seats are empty, we absolutely moved to different seats. We actually moved to worse seats just to have more space. because it was very packed in the front rows.
Was it more? I don't know if there's actually any way to tell. Was it more of a wrestling crowd? Do you think or a comedy?
It was a wrestling crowd. It was a wrestling crowd. And in fact, Sammy and I did, I've done, you know, reviewed this on Twitter. I've done got a full review up on elsewhere on this. But Sammy like did 20 minutes to open the show. And sort of ran one joke into the ground. And Ron Funches, when he came out as a guest, is he, you know, basically said, like, you're opening with, you've never done stand-up before, you're opening with 20 minutes. That is both brave and cocky. Mm-hmm. But Sammy pulled it off because this was a wrestling crowd that was there to see him. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you, he was quite good. And he actually structured the show in such a way that he told a story at the beginning of the show that he did a callback to at the end of the show. Like, this dude knew what he was doing. For this being his first attempt at doing stand-up and storytelling, he talked about how he got advice from Mick Foley. Like, that absolutely showed, you know, in terms of how he was approaching this. It was good. But, you know, and he got Tony Hinchcliffe hosted Kill Tony, which is, like, a huge comedy podcast. Like, that's a get, man.
Especially like, I mean, right after the roast. I personally thought he was one of the best people at the roast. So, really coming off of that, there's a lot of buzz still going on after that roast of Tom Brady. So it's kind of good that he kind of got that Tony guy.
So great lineup. Johnny Knoxville showing up and heckling him. Apparently, that was the other weird thing. Apparently, I'm the only person that got a photo of this posted on Twitter. So everyone that's written about this is like using my picture, which is always kind of weird. But Johnny Knoxville shows up. Sammy's like, oh, I want to sing for you all. And he starts singing like the Beatles' Help. And then Johnny Knoxville, you just hear some of the audience yelling like, where's Kevin Owens to make you relevant? Giving him a hard time, but they were getting into it. Becky Lynch shows up to break it up. Becky does a little dramatic monologue parody that was funny, and she was quite good. He came out and talked to Ron for a bit. Ron's pissed at Paul Walter Hauser for stealing his gimmick of being an actor who's really into wrestling. Becky confirmed Fightful's report. She's only got 3 weeks left on her contract and making an aside. You know, both Tony and Ron made some Vince McMahon jokes where the audience was kind of, everyone was nervous a little too soon, maybe. and then Sammy did a game that he came up with of, so you think you can promo. Audience members came up there and like cut promos. Kathy Kelly, by the way, hilarious. She was only there for a bit, but she was so quick and so funny and so good. But according to Sammy's Instagram, he's doing more of these. It's like more shows, more friends, more stuff coming to you. I'm glad I went out to it, man. Like, it was an experience. And Sammy's wife was sitting right in front of us. And part of his opening story and joke was about, she was like, oh, don't do this, don't do this. But she was having a great time and thought he was hilarious. So she preferred this to watching him get beat up.
Hopefully, especially against Gunther.
Yeah, right. So it was good, man. I'm glad I went. You should have gone. You could have gotten a ticket on StubHub for $2 before.
Wow. Hopefully, there's more in Los Angeles. I know, it's kind of a thing now. I feel one of my friends who I am kind of an acquaintance, but you know, I know him here and there. I see him at wrestling shows. I think he was one of the audience members that went up on stage. Mike Wexler.
Wait, which one was he? Was he the guy that looks like Drake, or was he the guy that was the gentrifier?
The gentrifier.
Okay. Yeah, he did good. Although the girl before him that was the beefy brawler, like, she just crushed it. She was so good. She was getting a promo against like a vegan wrestler, and she was naming all these LA food places and cuisines and shouting out like Koreatown and she just destroyed.
And I second that, Kathy Kelly. I've hung out with her a few times, and she is more than just a pretty face. She is very intelligent and very, very funny.
Nice. See, you're already rising in the world, George. Before you know it, Leo Rush will be DMing you saying like, hey, man, can you retweet this?
I'm not there yet. Although I did have the writer of the Nitro book, Guy Evans, reach out to me and ask if I wanted to interview WCW announcer David Penzer on my YouTube channel. And so tune into the Wrestling Chatter to watch our exclusive interview with David Penzer.
Nice. And for more, if you want to see me ramble about the Sami Zayn thing for 10 more minutes, Gigantic Pop, I posted a more in-depth review. It was weird, though. Oh, dude, so they were really cracking down, like, on photos, recording, anything. So I was legit, like, taking notes with a pen for part of it because I wanted to make sure I didn't mess up quotes or anything. But security, like, every 30 seconds, you saw some dude in, like, a black blazer just going and telling someone like, no recording, no recording, really? No recording. Wow. Yeah. So I'm lucky I got the Johnny Knoxville photo that I did. I think it was weird though, because Johnny Knoxville has silver hair. So it was kind of weird that he was wearing a silver hair wig that made him look like Mark Maron. Here, I'll share the photo because, you know, for the people on YouTube, they want to get the full experience. But there we go. So yeah, it looks kind of like Mark Maron. I think he buys his wig at the same place Enzo does.
Yeah.
yeah. But he was in the audience heckling and starting. And then Wee Man showed up at the end, punched Sammy, body slammed him. Johnny Knoxville hit him with the cattle prod. Like, I think if WWE, did they show anything on Raw last night?
No, nothing.
Yeah. So it seemed at the time like, oh, this is a good way to restart the feud. But if they're not, they didn't record the whole thing. There was someone with a camcorder recording it, but then there was like one dude backstage with a more broadcast quality camera that came out during the Johnny stuff. So I don't know. Maybe they'll use that at some point to rekindle something with the two of them.
Yeah, I was thinking about it too, where it's been like a little over a year since we've seen Sammy do any kind of like any kind of comedy bit in WWE. One of the things that kind of really jumped him up and elevated him in so many ways was adding that humorous element to the Bloodline story, where, you know, the backstage segments where you literally see on camera Jey Uso holding in his laughter to the whole Uso segment. So it's kind of fascinating that he hasn't really gone back to that. That kind of brought him to prominence a little bit in terms of kind of elevating him to the main event level. We've kind of seen, I mean, I'm not complaining in any way about his current character direction, but it just it'd be amused to kind of see if he can at least bring a little bit of that humorous side into his current character that he kind of has as being the fighting underdog.
I agree. I think though in wrestling, because I was thinking about this, this is where I'm bummed. I tried to go through the channels to get an interview with Sammy for that exact reason, George. That was what I was going to say, was going back to the indies, even pre-El Generico, humor was always a very, very big part of what he was doing. And if you look at that period of time when he didn't get over, like after his call from NXT, like he was over with like the IWC, but he wasn't mainstream. And I mean, I think that's part of the reason why they weren't letting him do his thing. And when they did, maybe not the Bobby Lashley sisters bit, but after that, when they started letting him do his thing, then he got over big time. So I think there is a school of thought though in wrestling, though, that champions, like, humor hurts the credibility of a championship.
Tell that to R-Truth.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll see how long that's last. Shout out to Beer Money Peter Joseph Flobo hanging out, not even on tonight, just hanging out in the chat. Just
I do.
Alicia, before
I go on to the next news story, what'd you have to eat while you're out here?
Okay, so the best place we went to eat was a vegan taco place, Hijo de Su Madre. That was the best tacos. The banh mi taco, phenomenal. We went to Crossroads Kitchen twice. We went to Mr. Charlie's, which is a great vegan spin on McDonald's. Packed. Absolutely packed. Then we went across the street to Esco's Pizza. Got a vegan slice. And that's something, like, I just had a burger and I was like, vegan slice written on the wall. Best pizza in LA. And what was cool about Esco's, I don't know how they did this. There's a Subway car inside the restaurant. They basically just put it in the hallway. And it's like, it's really cool. I wanted to ask Esco, like, how much did that run you? Because that is just, it's sweet when you check it out.
Are you vegan?
Yeah, vegan 22 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I will say some of the best burgers I've ever had is a vegan burger.
Yeah.
Very shocked to my core when the first time I ever had one, just how much you don't even notice it. I mean, even like the veganese that they use, the vegan cheese is just, by God, it is just, like, even going to like a, and I went to my go-to place was this place called Burgerama. That's not even a chain. It closed down, unfortunately, recently. But even like the chain, you know, the veggie grill, that was a pretty good, good veggie burger as well.
Yeah, it's gotten taken over my next level burger though. So it's the densest and heaviest veggie burger you'll ever have. But Crossroads Kitchen, man, the vegan cheese plate would satisfy anyone. Like, some of these cheeses win cheese competitions, not even vegan cheese competitions, like actual cheese competitions. Good stuff. But, people know to hit me up for vegan food recs. But what else is going on in the news?
So Billy Corgan his trailer just dropped for his Adventures in Carnyland. That's going to premiere on the CW app. I want to say the CW app. I really don't know how it goes. But apparently it's just kind of a big story that's going to premiere on actually today. All eight episodes of Billy's new unscripted series that starts today. Adventures in Carnyland, that just kind of shows his kind of foray into pro wrestling, and you know, it kind of shows his true love. I'm a fan of NWA because I've never seen it, so it's unfair to me to ever kind of give any kind of opinion to something that I'm familiar with.
It's fun.
Yeah, that's what everything I hear. Everything is so good. There's always that one promo by LA Knight / Eli Drake that always circulates around from like right before he got signed to the WWE. That obviously I've seen that, and I do have some. I know some people that are actually in the NWA, and they're killing it on a regular basis. But it's always fun to kind of see these mainstream guys really showcase their love of pro wrestling. Maybe the wrestling fans are in a bubble in some ways because they don't realize just how big of a band the Smashing Pumpkins was in the 90s. I know they still tour and whatnot. No, they're not gone, but dude, the 90s, man, like they were one of the top three, maybe top five alternative rock bands that are out there. And it goes to show that, you know, there's a little wrestling fan in all of us. I remember how much I marked out when I saw, side note, Luther Vandross on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno saying that he was a big wrestling fan. So me as a kid seeing that, I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. So I can only imagine maybe some of these guys that wrestling is a little is cool, you know, now. But, you know, 20 years ago, it was kind of, I mean, I was never ashamed to be a wrestling fan, but it was just like, oh, I didn't know you were a wrestling fan. Like, as opposed to now where it's kind of like, oh, yeah, we're all wrestling fans nowadays, right?
And this is why Ron Funches is mad at Paul Walter Hauser for infringing on his gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, and wearing his fandom on a sleeve.
Yeah.
But no, hey, Bob Mould from Sugar wrote for WCW in the mid-90s. Like, the rock and wrestling connection is real. It still exists. Mm-hmm.
Even like Jason Hervey, like I had no idea until much later that he was such a pivotal part in the early 90s of WCW, which, by the way, remind me to say about what I'm going to say about Lash Legend tonight, because I really, really want the jacket that he was wearing. But we'll get into that in a little bit.
I feel you. What else? What else is happening?
Dana White said over the weekend, I know there's not really a big story, official story, or just something that he said. But he said something to the extent of he sees the WWE going back to Sundays. He said something to the extent of maybe sometime when they're doing the same weekend where we have Power Slap, which will be on Fridays, the UFC on Saturdays, and then the Sundays will be back to WWE Day, which is interesting because I kind of really like Saturdays. There was something about finishing up a pay-per-view, and maybe it just goes back to my days and being in school where I can still have the high of finishing a great pay-per-view without having to worry about going to bed early and waking up early the next day. And you know, so I know it's only been like three years since WWE started doing Saturday shows, but I dig Saturday. So I'd be a little not upset. I mean, it's being upset over something like that is so, you know, juvenile and minuscule, but you know, I did like the Saturday pay-per-views. I don't know about you.
Well, I mean, you know, got to make room for Power Slap on Friday. How is that? Dana White owns Power Slap, but TKO doesn't own Power Slap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think because Dana White's maybe an employee of you. I don't know how that goes, but, you know, just kind of did his own thing. Maybe TKO wanted nothing to do with Power Slap.
Neither did TBS.
Yeah.
The new season's airing on Rumble. Which I've heard of, but is an app? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, there's pros and cons for both Saturday Sundays. I mean, personally, there are some days where I think it'd be better for it to be on a Sunday, sure. Just because, you know, parental duties and basketball, having kids basketball in the mornings, whatnot. But at the same time, I don't see it. I think it could conflict in the future if they were to have a Germany show or a France show or a Saudi show in the middle of football season. Yeah. I think a lot of people will probably choose, as mainstream as WWE is right now, I think people will still choose to watch the NFL. And that kind of does belong to the NFL is Sundays, where Saturday is kind of this, you know, UFC doesn't run every single Saturday. So why not take advantage of that? So I don't know. This is all according to Dana White. Nobody else has confirmed anything at all in terms of moving days. I missed the days of Taboo Tuesdays, and it was just the middle of the week.
Yeah, I mean, well, look at what NXT's been doing with essentially running their televised PLEs, you know, like spring break and whatnot. So we'll see. I missed the TakeOver Saturday WWE pay-per-view Sunday.
Yeah.
I missed that combo.
Yeah.
I think this UFC thing, I don't know that this is going to play, because I don't know that it's going to play to do like where they have, Randy Orton's at the UFC fight. It's too much of a contrast, in my opinion, to have sports entertainment and actual real fights back to back.
I mean, it's weird because, and if I'm wrong, please tell me I'm wrong, but it seems like when a lot of people, or when I guess WWE was starting to become a little stale in the mid 2000s to late 2000s, where a lot of the people that stopped watching, you know, the WWE and during that time maybe started watching UFC. So, you know, obviously maybe as you get older, people probably start watching more of the real stuff, I guess I like to call it. But nowadays it's become so mainstream where I think there's a lot of those fans kind of coming back and being able to say, hey, there's nothing wrong with watching both, especially since you're not essentially paying $50 or $60 for a UFC pay-per-view followed by a WWE pay-per-view, since everything's on Peacock now. So I think it's a lot easier now to be a fan of both as opposed to how it was 15, 20 years ago.
It's just, I think that WWE could treat it like a real sport up to a point. With sports entertainment, there's more you can do, but I remember being at Access a couple of years. I won't say who, but, I remember wishing a wrestler like good luck on your title match, and they were just kind of like, they gave a shrug that was like, yeah, like it's up to me, like I can do anything. Like they were kind of keeping it real. They were like, yeah, like I really have influence over how this is gonna go, you know. I think that's why it highlights it. Like I like to live in kayfabe and suspend disbelief, but that's where I'm saying it gets a little weird. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, there's pros and cons where it's like you might have a UFC where everything ends in decision. Yeah. And a lot of people might think that that's the most boring way to watch a UFC. But then you have one of those UFC nights where everything's like a first round knockout and it's going to be the best night ever. And that's the magic about pro wrestling, is that you can kind of write it however you want it to be.
Well, I would give this example. If you pan out to the UFC crowd and Hugh Jackman's in the crowd and they're like, yeah, and Hugh Jackman's here tonight, go see Wolverine and Deadpool, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But if you pan out in the crowd and it's like, and Wolverine's here in the audience tonight, he's got the hair up and the claws on his sticks, Nick, you'd be like, this is silly. This is really dumb. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority on this.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be a big UFC fan. I'm not that I'm not a UFC fan anymore. Just, you know, there's too many shows. They don't have that big star anymore that they used to have.
Well, and I decided after the first UFC pay-per-view ever that I'm boycotting this until they actually just turn it into the Kumite. And it goes back to the original promise that this is going to be a mix of fighting styles. You know, apparently they determine what the ultimate one is because everybody does the same thing now. Yeah. But I think we need to bring it back. We need to get Frank Dukes there. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Jean-Claude Van Damme, or maybe both. And, you know, we need people chanting Kumite. And then I will watch UFC again.
Well, I mean, NXT Underground is probably the closest thing to the Kumite.
Similar. I mean, I don't know. Tony D is like, you know, killing people to write them off TV. So maybe we'll see. Who knows?
It's like we still haven't seen Drew Gulak like anywhere at all. So maybe that really isn't a storyline. So who knows?
Yeah. Well, a little of both. Okay. So, and Power Slap is just like Power Slap feels like we're living in Idiocracy. Like this, it's the dumbest thing. Yeah. And I feel like it just, degrades everybody involved, including the viewer at home.
Yeah, I don't watch it at all, but
yeah, you know. It's just like, no. Okay, so let's talk about NXT tonight. The good old-fashioned world of a TV show about a wrestling company. Nobody understands that better than NXT. It's the Muppet Show, and Ava Rain is Kermit the Frog. And we open tonight with the Women's North American Championship ladder match qualifier with Sol Ruka versus Izzy Dame. And George, how much money will you bet? Because you're that confident Sol Ruka is going to this match, will be one of the finals in this match versus wins this match. I mean, she's definitely going, right? Because it's six slots. So
we know that she's okay. In the match. Yeah.
But would you say, like, I would place a reasonable sized bet that she's winning the North American Championship?
Oh man, that's going to be hard to bet against. Even though I'm a big Jada Parker fan. She's in my top two of NXT. But I would probably have to agree. I'll probably have a better answer once they actually officially, not so much announced, but obviously all the qualifying matches, happen. But yeah, I think Sol Ruka is probably a heavy favorite. I like this match because she was actually able to work. And let me explain what that means is when her first couple matches happened, all I heard on like the Twitter and all the social media was, oh, this girl's going to be a big star. Take a look at her finishing move. Mm-hmm. And that kind of annoyed me because I don't think somebody should be defined by just one move, right? And they should be able to show that they can actually work a full match, because I don't want people to get disappointed with maybe they have a cool move, but maybe their selling isn't that great. And I feel like this was a good match for her to show that she's more than just a finishing move, especially with the way how she came up with a new variation of how she got that move, or how she pulled off the move tonight on NXT. So yeah, if I were to guess, I'd say Sol Ruka is probably going to be, I'd have her like a 60% chance of winning being the first champion.
So if a heel wins, this is what's going to happen. Sol is going to hit the Sol Snatcher off the ladder onto somebody. And then a heel is going to then run up the ladder and grab that belt right after that happens.
Maybe. I mean, then again, you got Lash Legend, who it seems like they're kind of becoming a power couple. Maybe that's what it's going to lead to with Trick and Lash.
I like
so
that.
So how do you become a power couple? You hold championships at the same time. It's going to be a tough one to predict. I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, anytime you have a new championship, especially such with the women involved, right? This is kind of their first mid-card championship that they've ever had in the WWE, to my recollection.
Which still seems almost above. I know she just came back from an injury, but...
You think so?
Yeah, because she's...
She's above it, but not yet ready for the world title, or...
I think... Yeah, it just really depends. Depends on what their plan is, you know, for Roxanne. Depends on how long that plan is.
I mean, I think Roxanne will be involved. I think she'll be at the top for at least until the SummerSlam NXT. Right? They're doing it. They're doing one then too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because yeah, it's going to go Battleground and then Heatwave and then the SummerSlam one.
I think the other thing is Julia is going to be in NXT soon. And I think if Roxanne's dropping that title to anyone, it's going to be Julia. And I think it's going to be another Asuka Shayna situation. So the NXT title is going to be the one that changes hands. It's difficult.
And then who's going to be Julia?
I mean, maybe she ends up. Yeah. Like
in a year and a half.
In 2026. Sol Ruka wins that title.
I can see that happening.
Stand
and deliver Minneapolis, probably.
See, I think they need to, I mean, I know they just did away with them. I think they need to bring back the women's tag team titles, because we're just gonna need more opportunities for women in NXT if we have another long, because it's been a while. I mean, even Mandy held it for what, like 13 months, 14 months?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. This is a great first match, though. Great opening of the show. And I think that I think Izzy still put in a good showing, even though she lost. But Soul, just like, she keeps hitting that Soul Snatcher. Like, it's always awesome.
Well, we're going to see what happens to Izzy, if she's going to get lost in the shuffle. She was obviously now going solo now that Kiana James has been called up. Which, by the way, I think we were both very, very wrong on a lot of the call-ups from what happened on the draft.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, obviously, the only ones that they really announced was the obvious ones. Like, did Carmelo really count? Did Lyra really count? It's like, yeah, no duh, they're going to get called up. You know, Kiana surprised me a little bit. So I'm hoping that she does good things on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, we'll see. So Ava was meeting with the family. They were questioning what happened with the referee last week. Family got fined $20K, and Rizzo pulled out an envelope, said, "It's a little more. Here you go."
I don't think I've ever held. I think the most I've ever had in my possession, and it wasn't mine, but I'm just saying in my possession, was maybe 10 grand. But it wasn't like it was, you know, for a business. So it wasn't necessarily just like, it wasn't just, I didn't have it handy, just ready to go as far as
buying a kilo.
Yeah.
Handcuffed it to your wrist.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to get into it. I had a large amount of cash at one point that I needed to literally like move between banks. And they were like, "We can give you a cashier's check." And I said, "No. Give it to me in cash." And because I thought that would be cool just to have like a large amount of cash. But then I literally was paranoid as can be as I drove it across town to another bank to deposit it immediately. And I was like, I should have just gotten a check. It was neat. I recommend everyone do it at least once if you have the means.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I got 10 bucks in my pocket that I'm going to see what I can do with.
Yeah, at any given time, I've maybe got like $15 in mixed change on me. And I live in a town, like, actually, let me tell you the thing about living in Vegas is you go everywhere and there's a lot of gratuity based stuff where you want to, you know, tip somebody, or you see a homeless person, you want to give them some cash. And then the reason why now I keep $15 on me in mixed bills at all times is because I used to keep a couple 20s on me. And I was always like, I don't have change. Like, I'd tip you, but I don't want to ask for change back.
Yeah.
You know, so now I try and keep mixed bills on me at all times for that reason. But yeah, everything's digital these days. Yeah. So we saw OTM versus Idris Nofe and Malik Blade. Now, Jada Parker accompanied OTM, and Brinley Reese was out there with Nofe and Malik. I like Brinley a lot, but it's interesting how they have her be the valet more than she's doing matches, but she's getting segments. Like, I feel like they want to do something with her, but the storyline or right opportunity isn't quite there yet. But that being said, I thought OTM looked great tonight. Jada is an absolute star. I feel bad about Scripps not having his contract renewed, but I feel like the second we saw Jada, we knew this is where it was headed.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to go on and on about Jada Parker. Obviously, I think she's got a presence about her. OTM, you know, still a little on the green side, but, you know, they're good big guys. I will say I am insanely done with Idris Nofe and Malik Blade.
For
so many reasons. One, get some matching tights, for goodness sakes, right? Like, and I say this, like, I'm not even knocking their ability, because there were a lot of things that they did and today that reminded me very of like a Rock and Roll Express, just kind of like the hot tag coming in hot, and like, because they both got the ability to just do so many great things. But get some matching tights. We all know how I feel about getting a name. Like, it just kind of lame. Like, they don't even have like a team name or like names that go along with each other, right? You got Hank and Tank. I forgot that other team that just started, but it's like, oh, you got Blade and Idris, baby, you know, it's like, come on, guys, like, get creative, do something. We did see maybe like a tiny glimpse, and maybe it's a step in the right direction, so I'll give him that, in terms of when Idris was on the outside and he wasn't ready to come back in, and him getting tagged in, there was like a tiny bit of like, dude, come on, dude, like, I'm not ready to get back in there. So maybe that's going to lead to somewhere. But their current presentation now, dude, give me something. At least get matching tights if you're not going to sit there and come up with a team name.
There you have it. We know NXT talent watches this. Get matching tights.
At least with like Edge and Christian, you know, yeah. they both had like long blonde hair and they were both Canadian and they were both from Toronto, right? But it's like, tell me something. Tell me why these guys are a team. Give me anything. Tights, background, interest. Maybe they're both fans of like Taylor Swift and that's what kind of united them, you know? Give me anything on why these guys, why I should invest in these guys as a team.
Okay. I'm with you. And I want Brinley to get a storyline. I want her to get something.
Yeah. I'm gonna talk about her later.
Yes.
But yeah, we'll get into that.
So Noam Dar was attacked at the start of the show by who? Who knows? It's NXT.
Things happen. We'll find out. I mean, I pretty much think that they kind of said it, right? They kind of implied it at the end of the show.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Because at first I was thinking they staged it. I was thinking Noam Dar was a coward. Did this, brought this on himself. But yeah, so we found out later, but he wasn't cleared to compete. But then we had Lash Legend with Jakara Jackson against Ivy Nile in a North American Championship ladder match qualifier. And look, no offense to Ivy Nile, but she got called up. The fact she was back, like she was losing this match. Mm-hmm. This was Lash Legend's moment. Lash looked great. Lash got the win. Lash goes on to that ladder match.
Are we ever going to see the return of what was called Lashing Out with Lash Legend?
Oh, well, after that producer got kidnapped, it all fell apart.
I don't know. I thought that was great. They need to bring that back at some point.
Tony D'Angelo right now, actually, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's like when they dropped the tag titles and he didn't win that last championship match, I think now that, I mean, he did get a win, an important win tonight, but I like that somewhere in the last couple months they remembered like, oh yeah, this is a phenomenal character. The fact he can really wrestle is a huge plus, but ultimately this is a TV show and let's let Tony be Tony,
mm-hmm.
you know? But yeah, I think Lash getting the win though, this was the right call.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. I mean, now think about it. Like I mentioned before, she might be even a heavy favorite to win the North American Championship.
It's tough, but then what do you do with Sol Ruka, America's sweetheart?
Just keep doing her. You know, she's definitely on the rise. Maybe like you said, maybe she's a little bit on a higher level than the Women's North American Championship.
Yeah.
You know what I want to see though? I wish they would have a championship where it's its own title without having to say the Women's Championship. Right. Like for you have the women's, I know we don't have it anymore, but or the women's Raw champ, the women's tag team titles, you know, I wish they had something where it's like, oh, it's the television championship, but you know, because there's no men's television championship, they don't have to say women's in front of it. I just want it to be a championship where it just belongs to the women.
What if, Tony D lets Rizzo defend the Heritage Cup?
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Something. That's a way you could kind of move that over.
Yeah.
I still will never understand the rules to a Heritage Cup match.
So apparently it's first to win two falls.
Well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Five rounds?
Yeah. Don't spoil it too much. You're going to have to explain it for the audience at home.
I don't know.
Javon Evans, America's sweetheart, took on.
There's two
America's sweethearts, Sol Ruka and Javon Evans. Everyone loves Javon Evans. Big E loves Javon Evans, as he was tweeting tonight during this. But he took on Oro Mensah. And man, that kid is a superstar.
Yeah, Oro Mensah can go.
Good, but come on, Javon. Javon's great. Javon's
yeah.
great. He's just fun. And I like his promo style. I was worried early on. I was like, I don't know how this is going to play. But I like that he's kind of leaning into the fact that he's got sort of this. He's just having fun. He's not trying to be someone he's not. You know, kinda he comes across very authentic.
Kind of reminds me of, speaking of authentic, kind of reminds me of Kofi from like the ECW days.
Okay.
You say authentic, but now you say that as if like,
yeah,
he wasn't Jamaican. But wouldn't it be great if like someday, like in like a year or so, like Javon Evans just starts speaking with a Jamaican accent and he's like, yeah, I'm really Jamaican. I'm not American. What happened to your American accent, man? What? I've been Jamaican the whole time.
He was great in this match.
Yeah. This was a fun match. Oro Mensah, I feel like, is one of those guys that he's really good at his role, that people are not going to realize how good he is just because he's so good at putting other people over. I feel like he did as good of a job putting Javon Evans over as Javon Evans did as getting himself over as well.
Yeah. And Trick Williams came out to congratulate him.
I want that WCW purple jacket that that Lash was wearing.
Okay.
Not. I don't want to order it. I want the specific one that Lash Legend was wearing.
Send her a tweet.
Yeah, probably fit me. She's a tall gal.
See what you can do.
Yeah.
I feel like, yo, this is weird that I'm DMing you out of nowhere, but can I buy that jacket off you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a cool looking jacket. I liked that it matched her gear too, you know?
Got that was good.
Purple gone, purple and gold.
Yeah. Wesley came out to address the crowd.
I feel his passion through his promos.
Yeah.
Where like it's and you know, it's real to him, damn it. You know, like it kind of comes out there and it's, you know, I know it gets criticized a lot, and I really don't care because I feel like some of these people's opinions don't matter. But like, you know, when you show like real emotion, right? Like it bleeds through the TV when somebody's out there and you feel for them and you want them to succeed because it's really important to them, right? And I'm not saying that it's not important to other people. Maybe they're just good at hiding it, you know, maybe once they're out there. But you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with coming out there and, you know, shedding a couple tear or two because you haven't been able to wrestle for 6 months, shedding a couple tear or two because, you know, you saw some video package that, you know, showed your recovery process. And I we're all rooting for Wesley. And I am a little, the only downside about this is he's done everything that he can do with a North American championship. Like, what are you gonna do? Like, are you gonna try to beat your previous record of holding it or, you know, holding it for the amount of days. So I'd like to just see him go after the main title now.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We will see. So he came out and cut a heartfelt promo about what the North American Championship meant to him, interrupted by Obafemi, who was out there. The setup then, Ivar came out, Briggs came out, and Oba was like, y'all figure it out who's facing me at Battleground. So yeah, it was good. I mean, I like to see it be Wes. Briggs, though, that heat he was getting was crazy.
Did I miss something? Why do people not like Briggs all of a sudden? Was it because he was mean to Jensen?
Maybe because he was mean to Jensen.
Huh. I don't know. I guess like maybe Fallon was the glue the whole time, and now that she's gone, then it all just trickles down.
Yeah.
I like that when the four-way match was presented, Obafemi was like, nah, man, like I don't gotta do anything. You guys can figure it out amongst yourselves. You guys can have a triple threat match very easily. The winner of that can face me, but I'm not gonna suffice to your four-way idea.
Yeah. It's interesting. But I like that they're not gonna try and pack a bunch of guys into this match again. So we'll have a definitive challenger and we'll see what happens. What's going on? Why didn't we see Ariana Grace or Georgina? I feel like I need forward movement or closure on this storyline because it's one of the best ones in NXT.
For the same reason why we didn't see Roxanne Perez on NXT tonight. Ooh. You know,
ooh.
Got to make room for other things. But I think they're not going to just hold them off TV for a long time. That's the magic about what NXT is. Like, I think they have a really good way of shuffling people in without making you forget about them.
You know, that's honestly for Roxanne Perez at Battleground, because so much attention is going to be on the North American Championship. The most credible challenger is probably Georgina Gigi Dolan succumbing to the makeover and Ariana Grace in her corner, and Roxanne will get the win, but it will set up Gigi and Ariana on a whole new level if this falls apart after the match. Like, it'll be fun, it'll be entertaining, it'll be long-term storytelling and a payoff. Like, I think that you can do that and have Gigi get the loss, whereas you can't have it be Carmen Petrovic, like Natty's been trying to get her to be more fierce And then she's more fierce, and then she like loses to Roxanne Perez. That's not a good story. But Gigi getting My Fair Lady'd and then losing, like, this kind of works.
Is Ariana Grace one of the 12 women?
Is she?
I don't think so.
And Gigi's not, is she?
Gigi's not, no.
Yeah.
Huh, one, so maybe two, that makes three, sense. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Am I missing one?
I don't know. So I'm looking there. They tweeted out a thing of who do you think should get a shot, and she's on the graphic. Tatum Paxley. Isn't Tatum Paxley? I thought Tatum Paxley made the...
She did. Yeah, okay. So it's Sol Ruka. We saw Sol Ruka defeat Izzy Dame today.
Yeah.
We saw Lash Legend defeat Ivy Nile. Mm-hmm. Next week, we're going to see Jada Parker versus Brinley Reese.
Thea versus Fallon.
Thea versus Fallon. And then we still have Tatum, Kehlani, Ren Sinclair, and Meechan.
Okay. Yeah, I think the made over Gigi Dolan is the contender, with Ariana Grace being like a stage mother and like it kind of like a reverse Mizdow, that she'll be there like coaching her through all the moves. I don't know. This could be fun. If they do this right, this could be really fun.
Yeah. Although the person that I think of now that I'm thinking more out loud, that I kind of want to see win the championship, just because she was so impressive 2 or 3 weeks ago and we haven't really seen her follow up with that, was Tatum Paxley. Like she just blew my mind in that championship match she had a couple weeks ago. So, you know, what better way to reward her than giving her the first ever Women's North American Championship reign?
Well, that, but I'm talking about Roxanne, though, who's going to chat like for Roxanne's contender for the championship.
Yeah. That's who. There's a lot of options.
There's a lot of options. Tatum was hiding out in Ava's office tonight. Mm. Actonbury. Oh, Tatum Lee. Well, while Carly Bright was talking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The OC took on Ridge Holland and Riley Osborne with Chase U. What do you think about Riley Ridge Holland joining Chase U? This is like you're putting dirt inside my peanut butter instead of chocolate. This is not going to a good mix.
I don't get what they're doing with Ridge. He's coming out there cutting fake retirement promos. He's a heel. He was the
saddest man on earth a week ago.
So I don't know. They need to figure out exactly what to do with him. I don't like this kind of back and forth of, is he a face? Is he a heel? Is he a face? Is he a heel? Like, cause he's not good enough to be a tweener. Just figure it out. I like Chase U. I like them all individually, but you know, just figure something out. It's all going over my head.
So JC legit broke her nose and is out, which is why we got to put a light pause on her feud with Thea.
Well, I think they put a stamp on that, though.
Do you think that was?
I think that was a blow off.
I was hoping that would end on a bigger stage. But here's what I don't like with Thea. I mean, I love Thea Hale, but here's what I don't like. I don't like that they had the storyline with JC. It was very good. She was coming into her own, ability to put on a really good singles match, but then they've got her interested in a guy. Now she wants to help take in Ridge like he's a stray dog, you know, and like, can Chase U adopt him? Like, I think that Thea deserves some real single storylines at this point. I think the JC thing and in the Fallon thing, like she should get her moments of triumph without these little side quests that take away from her unique abilities. And I understand there's only so many slots on the women's roster and NXT is super stacked with this. So look, she's getting TV time. I don't want to ever disrespect what that means to a talent, but I just think she's ready for something a little more. She's, for how young she is in her career, I know she's got time ahead of her. She's going to have opportunities, but I feel like it's interesting how Chase U has become this. And we were talking about this last week, like they become this soap opera that seems like they just keep jumping from story to story without ever getting full resolution on the last thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we were probably going to see a little bit more, maybe now that Fallon and Henley has gone to the other side. So maybe we're going to see a little bit more of that in the near future.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it was when Tiffany Stratton worked at her ranch and Fallon realized hard work is not the answer anymore.
Yeah.
But this match, the OC got the win because Ridge is cursed. Or so you would believe storyline wise. Ooh, maybe we're going to find out Isla and Alba put that curse on Ridge.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
That would be like,
we haven't really seen them do much either, though.
No, and they had that great storyline where they cursed the women's tag titles, and they're like nothing. Like, I don't know.
I like that the OC's in there, and that's like the little things where they're so accomplished, and they got so many accolades all over the world, where it feels like it means a lot to them, for them wanting to be the NXT champions. So, or NXT tag team champion. So I like that they're chasing that. They're kind of like a trophy collector, just something to add on. So I like that they add that to the, the OC, like, at least for me, and I can only imagine for maybe people that are just kind of maybe like younger people that just, you know, believe everything, where like, oh, wow, like they must, these championships must really mean something to them if they're going after those titles after, especially after practically accomplishing whatever you can accomplish in tag team wrestling.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. So Carly Bright took on Lola Vice tonight with Shayna Baszler, and Carly Bright got way more offense than you'd be expecting, considering Lola Vice has teamed up with Shayna Baszler. Like, to the point where at first, after about a minute of Carly doing moves, I was gonna be like, oh, it's, you know, I almost tweeted, oh, it's really nice of Lola to let Carly get some moves in before she like destroyed her. But no, this was a shockingly competitive match for how dominant they book Lola and her trajectory.
Yeah, this was a fun match. But my issue isn't with the match.
What's your issue with?
Can we stop with these Kelly ripoff women? You know, it's like, oh, hey, here's a pretty blonde coming out there, happy to be there. I already mentioned the Brinley Reese Thea Hale comparison before, and now you have somebody else kind of jumping along that faction as far, you know, jumping along the old positivity train. Just like, dude, like, I get you're happy to be there, but like, can we just mix it up a little bit? You have Carmen Petrovic, who is blonde as well and kind of has, you know, a lot of those features as well, that is not doing that. Is not out there saying, oh, hey, I'm happy to be here. You know, she my favorite wrestler was Kelly growing up. I just feel like these are all Kelly ripoffs. And I'm just kind of like, can they get a little bit more creative with the old happy to be here kind of character with these new girls?
But it's interesting because Lola Vice, like under her real name, Valerie Lareda, I mean, she competed in Bellator. Like she's legit. Pairing her with Shayna Baszler, like, is even more her bona fides as a brawler. So it's interesting that she does a little shimmy and shake with her in-ring moveset. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, though, I think that they play it sometimes when she does like the hair toss and the look at the camera. They play it sometimes kind of like an evil little sachet that she does. And I think that's a nice little character flourish. But I agree, sometimes it can be too much where you have to remember, ultimately, she is a badass. She is somebody that could shoot, fight, take out probably most of the roster, regardless of women or men, in an actual brawl. So, yeah, I think maybe, here's something, you know, here, like, zhuzh it down just a little because a little goes a long way. And I understand your point that at a certain point, it feels gratuitous.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, I think Lola Vice, she, if anything, much like you said about Sol Ruka, Lola Vice is in that spot where she's too good for the North American Championship, but still has a little bit left to go to get to that upper echelon of the NXT Women's Championship.
Yeah. I mean, she won the breakout tournament. Mm-hmm. The cash in did not go well. Mm-mm.
I think she's ready. I think she is showing a lot of promise. I think I was the one, I actually predicted her to get called up for the WWE draft. But it looks like they're sticking with her. And I think, probably it'll be babyface beats, or maybe it's going to lead up to Julia and Lola Vice, maybe coming to close out the year. Who knows?
But if you know her backstory, and you see how she's progressing in the ring, in 3 months, you cannot put her against Roxanne Perez.
Yeah.
Incredibly have me believe that Roxanne Perez wins that fight.
Yeah.
That's the danger zone there. And so maybe she does get called up sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And then I mentioned it before too. Nowadays, it seems like they're not against bringing people, not necessarily bringing people back down, but having people from the main roster win NXT championships, like we saw with Becky Lynch, The New Day, and you know, mm-hmm. even Mandy Rose came back and had a run of a lifetime.
Yeah. So Lola won that match. Carly Bright, I'm interested to see more of.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested, but man, like just give me something different as far as personality goes.
Hmm.
The great name. I think the name is fantastic. You know, I think it's very you can merchandise it very, very easily.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, just give me something different as far as, you know, hey.
What we're getting for Lola for the time being is Carmen Petrovic and Natalya ran down to the ring. They began brawling. So, yeah, they're going to have a tag match next week.
Mm-hmm. I think that'll be fun.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Main event, Charlie Dempsey versus Tony D'Angelo for the NXT Heritage Cup.
I don't get it.
It's very complicated.
So there's five rounds, right? Here, let me look it up. Because I feel like it might be easier to look it up. So you got five rounds, right? Where is it? NXT Heritage Cup. Let's see, rules. Okay. Match consists of 6 3-minute rounds. Okay, so, but it's 2 out of 3 falls. So the first two to win two falls wins. But
I don't know.
If it goes to 6 completed, whoever is ahead on falls wins the match. But what if they're tied? I don't see anything about tiebreakers.
Well, it's a 5. It can go to 5 rounds.
Well, it's just 6 3-minute rounds.
Oh.
So and let's say one person wins the first round, the second person wins the second round, and then let's say the next 4 rounds, nobody wins. You know?
Somebody has to win a round, right?
No, because it's timed.
Okay.
Like what happens with the 3 minutes and it just comes out? Like
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, it was good match though. Started with D'Angelo taking the lead, Dempsey tying him. It stayed tied, and then around 5, D'Angelo got the win. It's interesting that WWE knows it's Trick's time as champion. Tony's beyond the North American title level. Mm-hmm. This feels like the perfect opportunity to just keep him on TV and in the spotlight. I don't think with the current tag division landscape that Channing and Luca, I don't think it's their time for the tag titles. Rizzo, unfortunately, and Rizzo is quite the athlete. If you've looked at her background and what she can do.
I saw that little like Instagram thing that she put that kind of showed her all the athletic pedigree she has. And I'm like, wow, this girl's very, very athletic.
Yeah. So, but again, the women's division right now, it's a game of musical chairs, and there's very few chairs left. So I think that this is a good thing for the family to get them through on TV. I don't know. Maybe they get called up sooner rather than later. But I worry that they're going to be in that pretty deadly spot of it's like, oh yeah, they're really good on TV, but then we're just not going to book them. I mean, the tag opportunities still, even with 2 sets of titles now on the main roster, feel more limited than ever. So I don't know. I don't know where they fit in on the main roster, but man, they're great television.
Yeah. I mean, they always have entertainment segments. Like I said, even going back to earlier where he just randomly busted out like 20 grand, just like nothing. Like little things like that. It's like, oh, like I appreciate those little things that people probably don't think it means a big deal, but I'm like, I'm amused by it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're in this weird, like, I'm actually surprised that maybe Tony D, I thought, would have been a great fit to be the NXT champion right now. But obviously they see a lot in Trick Williams. You know, maybe we'll see that'll be the next big feud that comes out of today and maybe heading into the summertime.
Yeah.
Trick and Tony.
Yeah, we'll see. And then when we went off the air, we saw Wesley, Josh Briggs, and Ivar all laid out with equipment surrounding them. And it panned over. It was Gallus who revealed themselves as the attackers and said, did you miss us? And I had to pause for a second and go online and say, is that Gallus? Yes, Gallus is back.
How long were they gone for? I didn't even kind of notice that they were absent for a long period of time.
That's the problem. I don't think Gallus, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think Gallus have ever gotten fully over in NXT. I know they were a big deal in UK. I get that. I think it's tough, man. I think right now, clearly, they believe in Briggs. They broke up Briggs and Jensen. Hank and Tank, I don't know what they're doing these days. Like, I put Gallus kind of in that category of just kind of like, they've got a lot of big guys.
They can go too. I mean, they were picked by The Rock for a reason to kind of get them back in shape. So it's not like they have lack of talent in any way.
No. But I mean, the three of them are not as entertaining as one Joe Gacy.
Where's Joe Gacy been?
Where's Joe Gacy? He's in the rafters or I the guess, dancer maybe?
Well, I guess he's rumored to be a part of a stable that's going to be on the main roster very soon. So
which is also going to be interesting.
I think it's going to be interesting just because there are many things that can go wrong.
Oh yeah.
But there's also many things that can go right. So we'll see how that goes. I've always been kind of like I'm a big fan of the Saw movies. I don't know if I mentioned this to you. I mentioned it some of the other shows where you've seen all the Saw movies, right?
I have seen most of Saw 1.
What about the other ones?
I've read some synopses. It kind of lost me a certain way.
My whole point is like they even mentioned in the first one where Jigsaw has an inoperable brain tumor, right? So it's kind of inevitable that he's going to pass away during one of the Saw movies, right? But there's apprentices and there's a legacy and just things that still need to carry on to fulfill the message. And I kind of hope I see something like that. I don't want to see the Uncle Howdy character, but I want to see Bo Dallas be someone specific, you know, or be himself, but you know, kind of with a certain twist in some ways, just kind of being the guy that can maybe head the helm, I guess you can say, in terms of fulfilling Bray's mission that he wanted to do, just kind of maybe like creating havoc and wreaking havoc and, doing very cool things. In WWE, that looked kind of freaky.
Well, let me present a counterpoint. Friday the 13th, Part 5, Jason Lives, where somebody else was wearing the mask.
Mm. Well, it's like Jason. Jason Goes to Hell, where it was that little.
That's actually a good idea. I thought this was a good idea back when Bray was still with us. Mm-hmm. The idea of Bray hopping bodies and having his spirit embody other people, but they would have to commit to that. And you know what it would have to be like is one of my favorite horror movies, and Eazy-E, the late great Eazy-E, his favorite horror movie, The First Power, starring Lou Diamond Phillips, where he could jump bodies. Oh my God, you've never seen The First Power? It's amazing. They're tracking a killer, but the killer can jump bodies. Like Fallen with Denzel Washington basically just ripped it off entirely. But The First Power is great. But that would have been amazing, like if they would have had like John Cena channeling Bray Wyatt out of nowhere. And I was like, nope, now he jumped into Big E. Now he jumped, into Michael Cole. Like they could have really done something with this.
Yeah. That'd be fun. That's funny. Tony Hayes put Joe Gacy believes in Joe Hendry. I too believe in Joe Hendry.
Well, we will see what happens. But Gallus is back. Everybody is dancing in the streets. They're so happy that Gallus has returned to NXT.
The parking lot and the backstage is never ever safe in NXT. Shouldn't they know by now?
It's true.
I like that Ava seems so busy too. I don't know. It's like that kind of amused me today, where if you're the general manager of a show, you should be so busy, but also something where I always thought it was funny, and I'm overthinking it. I get the land of kayfabe, right? When Ava, in the middle of the show, she said, all right, we're going to see, what's your name? Bright?
Carly Bright.
Carly Bright is going to face Lola Vice later today. And I'm always thinking, like, do they not have the show in the world of make-believe? Do they not have the show formatted already? Like, did a match go shorter than you thought it was going to go? Thus, you inserting another match to kind of fill that time. I know. I was always amused by.
Nah, but that was a very Muppet Show thing. Because the Muppet Show thing would be like Miss Piggy was concerned she didn't have enough time for her big number. Mm-hmm. And Fozzie Bear wants to get on the show. He's got some new jokes, you know? And mm-hmm. Kermit's like, fine. I'll find time to put you on the show. Like, yeah. I like that. I like that aspect of it.
But like, but I like it too, but this is me overthinking it, where it's like, what would have happened if that scenario didn't happen? What would they have done with the time that would have went to Bright and Lola Vice? Like,
well, that would just... be, that's an opportunity to tell another story. Somebody's match got cut, you know, like, actually this would be a good plot. This is how you make Brooks Jensen, like the new Heath Slater. Is that he's like, Ava, you promised me a singles match where I can reestablish my singles career. Mm-hmm. And every week she's like, sorry, Brooks, we had to cut you. We don't have time tonight.
Well, it's like the Lindsay Buckingham bit on SNL.
Yeah. Yeah, they could do that. That would be kind of fun if Ava's constantly.
Oh, we're out of time.
Yeah. You know, that would be good.
I hope a lot of people watching get that reference, the old, like, the What's Up With That reference or the SNL. Well,
it's not that old. I mean, that they still do those occasionally.
They've done it like one time in the last 5 years, and that's because Jason Sudeikis was hosting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only time they've done it in like the last 5 or 10 years. But yeah, it's just something where it's like, oh, we were gonna have you do a promo, but you know, matches come before promos.
Have you played my GM mode? If somebody's like, hey, can I do a match tonight? You don't book them, their morale really takes a hit.
Really?
They threaten to quit. You have to give them money to keep them from quitting. Ava had to give that $20,000 to Brooks Jensen tonight to keep him from walking out because she promised him a match.
That's funny.
She bumped it for Carly Bright.
It's one of those things where, especially in wrestling, all you have to do is reference it one time, mm-hmm. and then you're set for life.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of so many like logistical holes that get filled by just something just so like, oh, well, you know. That's why we always go over the 2 o'clock. That's why you always go to like 7:06, because you know Ava likes to throw in that extra impromptu match all of a sudden, you know.
Well, in fact, you know what they should do? Brooks should be tweeting. He's like, man, that was supposed to be my slot tonight. Like he should be doing that little story. In fact, I'd prefer that, and I'm not throwing shade, I'm not gonna mention any wrestlers by name, but it's a bad move sometimes when wrestlers publicly complain about not getting on the card, or people are like, oh, the show's not the same tonight with X, Y, and Z, and then X, Y, and Z retweets all those people. It would be a better way to legitimately build interest and play along, to be like, if there was an attack backstage, it was like, oh, that thwarted the plans tonight for my in-ring return. Mm-hmm. That was my time.
Yeah.
You know, because this went over. That would be a more fun way to play along with it.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah,
should be fine. Well, maybe they'll start doing it when they go to the CW.
Yeah, maybe. Well, there you have it. George is at G Hermosa. It's Hermosa with the Z. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Thanks, everyone. I'll be back here Friday night talking about SmackDown. Tune in tomorrow night for AEW coverage, and we will catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.